Hello, Nightmare Family. This episode features adult content and situations which will not be suitable for everyone. You have been warned.
The Nightmare Society.
So I've been on Grindr for about 10 years now, 5 of which were illegal. Not proud of it. And I've had plenty of screwed up experiences. This one in particular reminds me of when I was at a party without my car. I was 19 and in college, and my phone was at 10%. But a decently hot Grindr guy said he could pick me up and we could hang out at his place before he drove me home. So, of course, I jumped on the opportunity. Anyway, we got to his place and he got me pretty drunk. Not unusual for me, but never tried to make a move. I assumed he was gonna wait and just convince me to stay the night later. Finally, my phone died after like 2 hours. That last 1% lives a lot longer than the rest, and I didn't even have to say anything before he noticed it was dead. Then he stood up and was like, "Well, let's go to the car then." When I asked if he had a charger I could use, he just said, "No." After we got in the car, he got kind of quiet and less flirty. I spaced out and just enjoyed his music and was looking out the window. I didn't even notice that he never asked where I lived until I realized we'd been driving for over an hour, not even towards my town, but into the canyons, the greater Salt Lake City, Utah area. And I asked where he was going and he just said,
"Thought we could go for a drive."
And my drunk ass was like, "Oh, okay." So anyway, he ended up taking us 4 or 5 miles, I think, down a dirt road with no signs or houses until it dead-ended into this cabin with no lights on or cars outside. And he parked and turned the car off. That's when the dread started to creep in as I sobered up. I said I drank too much and should probably head home. But he didn't even respond. He just sat there, staring at the cabin. Then he was like,
"You said you liked being kinky. You're a submissive, correct?"
And I was like,
Sure, but I just meant like normal, rough kind of stuff. Nothing wild."
He started sounding a little annoyed, and his sentences seemed a little less carefully worded, like he was just spitting out the bare minimum of each thought. He said something about how some of his favorite people are those who can find pleasure in pain, and like if someone goes into shock enough times, eventually it becomes like a drug and they crave more. Then something about how pushing a person into the deep end is the fastest way to teach them to swim. At that point, I was scared enough to assert myself and said firmly,
"Okay, that sounds fun, but just not tonight. I want to go home now. This place is creepy."
He just sighed and gripped his keys tighter. Then, right as I glanced at his phone sitting in the cup holder, right before it occurred to me to grab it, he snatched it up so fast and held it in his left hand, kind of behind his head to make it clear he wasn't going to let me near it. I looked at him kind of like, "What?" And he gave me this almost, "I'm proud of you, son," half smile like dads do when they pat you on your shoulder or something. It was quiet and he kept looking me up and down for a minute or so and then got a little more gruff and said,
"Let's go inside. I have these friends you'll really like once you meet them. You'll feel a lot better."
or something to that extent, but he wasn't even trying to sound genuine or comforting like he'd been doing so well earlier in the night. Finally, I lied and spoke up a bit and told him,
"I told my roommates and my friend I was meeting up with you before you picked me up. I sent screenshots of your face and some of the conversation. They're gonna freak out if I don't charge my phone and reply to them in the next few hours."
I tried not to make it sound accusatory, but more like I was just worried about my friends going crazy. But it was clear he knew what I was implying. At that point, he let out an exasperated, grunty sigh and started the car and drove away, keeping the headlights off the whole way back down the dirt road for some reason. Driving back, I got nervous about him stalking me and coming after me in the future, so I tried to apologize and tell him I'd be down to hang out another time, but maybe tonight just wasn't great for me, blah blah blah. He didn't say a single word the whole drive back and didn't ask where I lived. I didn't intend to tell him either. But he dropped me off at a McDonald's about 40 miles away from my apartment. And when I was stepping out of the car, he suddenly leaned over and gave me a hard shove, so I almost fell out the rest of the way. He grabbed my backpack off the floor and flung it out his window across the parking lot and peeled out with the passenger door still open. It broke my laptop and cracked my phone, and I had to ask a stranger to use her charger and call an Uber. But at that point, I was just so anxious to get home, I didn't give a shit. What's so weird is how, while it was happening, even though I was terrified, I guess I wasn't thinking about exactly what he was planning to do with me. I just knew I needed to get away, so it wasn't until I got home and got in the shower that I realized how screwed up it all was, and what might have happened if I let him walk me into the cabin and all that stuff. I remember just being so shaken and smacked by the reality of it. Almost felt like a panic attack, so I sat down in the shower with my head between my knees and cried till it ran cold, and got out. Woke my roommate up to tell him about it, and he kind of calmed me down. So while I still have a Grindr account, I really just use it as an ego boost. I'm reluctant to meet up with anyone from it now. Anyway, girls and gays, I suppose the moral of the story is we've got to be really freaking careful out there. I live in Chicago and don't have a car since public transportation is so much easier. I went to a gig at some bar, and after it was done, I headed home. My friends and I were all taking different rail lines home, so we said goodbye and parted ways. After walking for a bit, I realized how late it was, and it hit me that the bus I was taking wasn't a late night bus. It didn't run past like 12 o'clock. I saw a taxi go by with its lights on, and I just got paid, so I thought, what the heck? I usually don't use taxis because they're so expensive, but I was tired and wanted to get home. The guy stopped without me waving my hand, which I thought was weird, but oh well, he probably saw me and I looked like I needed a ride, right? I hop in and he asks me where I'm going. I tell him my neighborhood and he heads that direction. I also didn't tell him where I lived exactly, but gave him the main intersection closest to me. As we start getting closer, he starts asking about my tattoos and piercings. Whatever. I get asked about them a lot, so I just said where I got them done at, etc. He then asks if I have my nipples pierced or genitals pierced, and I tell him no. Then he asks me to get a drink with him. I say I have a boyfriend. He then begins begging me. By this point, we are about to pull off into the intersection near my apartment, and I basically tell him thanks, but no thanks. and then he pulls over in a parking lot and won't unlock the doors. I look at him and he says to me,
"The only way you're getting out of here is if we grab a drink."
Then he gives me a sinister smirk. I'm practically shitting myself at this point. So I'm freaking out and my phone is dead and I couldn't even call anyone. I don't know how I thought of this, but I say,
"Okay, we can grab some beer and hang out at my place, okay?"
I tell him to pull into a 7-Eleven and I can buy us the beer. I get out and tell him I'll be right back. He watched the whole time I walked through the parking lot. I go in and act as if I'm asking the cashier to open the cooler for me, but instead I'm like,
"Hey, this taxi driver is freaking crazy. Please help me."
I live not too far from this 7-Eleven and know the cashier by name. He takes me to the back of the store and walks me out the back door, and then walks me through the back alley to my apartment, which is maybe about 2 blocks away, and has his co-worker keep an eye on the guy until I get back safe. I got home safely and thanked the cashier a million times, and he said he was happy to help, and told me to keep my door locked and that he'd try to get the guy's license plate number. The guy left by the time the cashier got back, though. I've never taken a cab since and don't plan on it again. I was a pretty brave person when I was younger. Or maybe I had the sense of invincibility that comes with youth. I'd survived some things like a stalker who pursued my sister and I for over a year and a half, being sexually assaulted, 2 house fires, and growing up in a house that I swear to you was haunted. Not in that Disney way either. I'm talking torture chamber in the basement and strange things going on. Anyway, I suppose looking back that having been through all that made me feel a little better, like either I was sort of invincible or maybe I just assumed that I'd gotten all of the bad stuff out of the way and nothing else would happen. Whatever it was, I learned to know better. When I was 17, I didn't have a driver's license. In fact, I was 36 before I did. I walked most places, occasionally catching rides with friends and, less occasionally, hitchhiking. The night in question was one of those seldom seen occasions when I had decided to hitchhike, having worked late and being too exhausted to walk. Now, most of the time when I'd hitch a ride, I wouldn't get in the car with a lone man. Only women, or rarely, men with a wife or girlfriend and or kids in the car. This night, though, cars were few and far between, and it was cold. And really, if I'm being perfectly frank, when he pulled over, I took a good look and figured I could take him if he tried anything. He was on the slender side and had a strange frailness about him, even though he looked healthy enough. I got into the car, and after we agreed on a destination, we exchanged names and I warmed my fingers in front of the heating vent. He spoke quietly, asking a few questions along the lines of, was I a local and how did I like living there? He said he'd only been there a couple of months but found it beautiful and hoped he could find happiness there. That comment struck me as a little odd, but I brushed it off. It began to snow and the road quickly got slippery, so he slowed and kept his eyes straight out the windshield, driving silently. I was okay with that, as small talk never was my forte. About 10 minutes later, I noticed a car near the intersection we were approaching seemed to be sliding, so I said,
"Oh, watch out!"
He immediately hit the gas, shooting through the intersection and burst out with,
"Don't ever scream at me."
Needless to say, I was taken aback. I said,
Look, this is close enough. Just pull over here and I can get there.
He didn't seem to hear me.
Richard? Did you hear me? I said you can pull over here and let me out.
No response. He just stared straight ahead, driving faster now than he had been since it began to snow. To say I was scared doesn't seem to cover the depth of the fear that began to arise in me. I didn't know if I should stay quiet or speak, but I was damn sure not going to yell after his outburst. After about a mile, he began to mumble under his breath. I couldn't quite make out what he was saying, but I assumed he was speaking to me, so I said,
"Hmm? I couldn't hear you."
He began to speak quietly and rapidly, saying things like,
"You're always yelling at me. I've told you time and time again I do not appreciate being yelled at, but do you listen? No. Well, I'm done listening to you. Now, do you hear that? Huh? Do you hear that? I'm done listening to you."
I was at a complete loss. I didn't know what to say in response or if I should say anything at all. I contemplated just jumping out of the car, but nixed that idea when I realized the door lock was missing. There was just a silver-lined hole where it should have been. I'd started to cry and debate with myself about causing an accident by grabbing the wheel and hoping for the best. At least I figured there was a chance I'd survive that. When he suddenly looked at me for the first time since I'd gotten into the car, he blinked several times rapidly, then slowed the car, pulling into a gas station. I waited to see if he'd unlock the doors, not wanting to say anything to set him off again. After a minute or two, he quietly said,
"I think I better let you out here,"
and hit the button to open the locks. I wasn't about to hesitate. I jumped out of the car as if it were on fire. I was about to turn and walk into the gas station when he called my name. He looked so damn sad, I hesitated. He apologized and said he was sorry if he'd frightened me, that he would never have harmed me, and asked if I'd be able to get home okay. I said I would and closed the door. He began to pull out of the gas station, but stopped suddenly. He just sat there for a couple of moments, his head down. I froze, wondering what the hell he was up to, and was about to run into the gas station, but he opened his window and yelled to me, waving something in his hand. My hat. I'd left it on his seat. I warily approached his side of the car and he handed it to me, apologizing again. I didn't know what else to say, so I just said,
"Thanks."
I watched as he drove off, making sure he was out of sight before moving on so he wouldn't know which direction I was heading. I had decided to go to a friend's house instead of home. As I walked, I went to put my hat back on and out fell a piece of paper. Folded into the paper was a $100 bill. The paper said,
"I'm sorry. Please take a cab and don't hitchhike anymore tonight."
I didn't. In fact, it was the last time I ever hitched a ride alone. A huge thank you to our contributors for sharing their encounters with us. We're glad you made it out safely. Last week, I was privileged enough to sit down with a pretty normal podcast. We chatted about horror and serial killers and all kinds of weird things, so I would encourage you to go check out the podcast. I will link it in the description. As always, please don't forget to leave a review. If you do so with your name listed, I'll give you a shout out on the next episode. Follow me on the social media listed below, and please do send me your encounters to nightmaresocietyradio@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, stay safe.